good to be with you here this morning, and we'll just unite our hearts seeking God's face, knowing that we need His help in this meeting, for help cometh from the Lord. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we thank Thee that we have an audience with the King, King of Kings. We're not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truths, but we thank Thee worthy as the Lamb of God. And we pray, O God, that You'll shut us in with Thyself. We pray You'll hide us behind the cross. None would be seen but Jesus Christ. Pray You'll bless the words of Thy mouth. We pray for the Sunday school classes as the word goes forth. Pray for the little children. As You've said, suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And we pray for those that yet not know Thee. We pray, O God, that You'll snatch them as brands from the burning. God, do that divine work that only Thou can do. Lord, we pray that You'll bless us in this Bible class, we pray. Fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Take us, use us for the glory of Thy precious name. We pray for Mr. Lavery over in the Isle of Man. Lord, fill Thy servant full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Give him those divine appointments, we pray. And give him the great joy of pointing souls to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Remember Mr. Greer. Use him this day, we pray, and do us good, and help us, we pray. For it's in Christ's name, and we ask all these things, giving Thee all the praise and glory, which is due Thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It's good to be with you here this morning, and you on the webcast, we welcome you in the Lord's name. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're turning in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let us hear God's word. Commencing our reading there at verse 1, we'll read all of the chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in Him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and the rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. Just again, we'll bow briefly, seeking God's face. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt now empty us of self and of sin, fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless the words of thy mouth, build us up in our most holy faith, and do us good. For it's Christ's name we pray, and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We see clearly in these verses that we have read together the doctrine of election. It's seen clearly in the passage that we've read, God being pleased from all eternity to choose a people unto himself, men and women out of mankind, whom by his counsel secret to us, he has decreed to save by Jesus Christ. None are finally saved except those who are thus chosen. Men and women, as we study the Bible, we read of some of the names of those who have been chosen thus to salvation. We read of Abraham, that mighty man of faith, the one who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, one who was called the friend of God. Or there's Moses, one who was called a man of God, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Or there's the harlot Rahab, that woman whom the Lord saved, made a trophy of grace. She perished not with them that believed not. Peter, James, John, man of Gadara, the one the Lord went to where he was. Lydia, That woman the Lord converted, whose heart the Lord opened, all elected to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ and have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, those men and women whom God has been pleased to choose from all eternity, He calls in time by His Spirit working in due season. He convinces them of sin. He shows them themselves to themselves. He leads them to Christ. He works in them faith and repentance, repentance and faith, those great truths that go together, that cannot be separated. In college on Thursday, we were looking in exegesis. Mr. Nelson was setting forth Mark chapter 1, and we were looking at Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and he was stating the fact that in today's preaching we see little or no preaching concerning the repentance, little or no call to repentance. And Christ was preaching the gospel. And Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The two go together. The two go together, inseparable. They go together. And so the Spirit leads to Christ, working in them those great truths, repentance and faith. He converts, renews the will, and sanctifies them. He keeps them by His grace from falling away entirely, and finally brings them safe to glory. You see, those who have been saved, those who have received Christ, are a highly privileged people, because all true Christians are a chosen generation who make up one family under one head. People distinct, set apart from the common world. And they could never be if they were not thus chosen in Christ to be such and sanctified by His Spirit. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. Firstly, we were not chosen for any good in us. We were not chosen for any good in us. But ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation. You see, it speaks immediately of the grace of God. God did not choose us because we were better than that of other men, because we were a great people or we had something better in us than that of other men. No, rather, we were the opposite. We were in a state of ignorance, guilty, totally depraved. No good in us whatsoever. It was unconditional, undeserving, unmerited favor. A chosen generation speaks immediately of the grace of God. No good in us whatsoever. Not even an iota. None whatsoever. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, 1 to 3, sorry. You see, for in our unsaved state we were not the people of God, but rather we belonged to Satan and to the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." No good in us, that is, in and of ourselves. None whatsoever. It's unconditional. Grace of God. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Undeserving, unmerited favor. Grace of God. Chosen generation. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Speaks immediately of the grace of God. Unmerited favor. God would have been just to leave us all to a Christless eternity and pass us all by and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. But he hasn't. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. God has chosen us purely because of his love and grace." Because of his love and grace. And truly we can utter those words of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. "For many be called, but few chosen." Many be called, but few chosen. Ye're a chosen generation. And friends, today, truly it is a blessing. And what a blessing it is to be called out, to be elected among the heirs of destruction. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But friends, we must remember that we were once bondmen in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. A chosen generation, a highly privileged people. Ye're God's building. Ye're God's building. As it says in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn it for time's sake. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." We were not selected because of some worldly wisdom or power or dignity. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We're not things and nobodies. Sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. We're no better than they. We trod down the path that leadeth to destruction. God set his love upon us. And yet he would have been just to leave us. Leave us all by. Murray McShane, that mighty man of God, he penned those words in that hymn, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. Each and every one of us in this meeting, saved by sovereign grace, friends, we owe much. Ye are bought with a price, for you were redeemed not with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are God's building. We are built up a spiritual house upon Christ, the living stone, the chief cornerstone. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, royal in our relation to him. We are but now kings and priests unto God, an holy nation, a separated people, called out from the world around us, a peculiar people, purchased by blood, peculiar to him, precious in his sight, precious because he is precious, elect because he is elect, chosen of the Father. Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Friends, he is elect. He is precious. Therefore, rejoice in what you have and what you are in Christ. Ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were chosen to show forth God's praise. We were chosen to show forth God's praise. Ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We were chosen, called out to be that sounding board, to show forth the praises of him, to tell out, to advertise, to be that immediate record, to sound out, to tell out to others. You see, the world is watching on. The truth is, they will read us before they read the Bible. world is watching on. Your neighbors, your friends, in your household, those who live around you. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Here our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." He further went on to say, and I paraphrase, "Here the epistle of Christ, Christ's epistle." And it's true that those outside of Christ, they will read us before they read the Bible. The world is in darkness. The people do not know the excellencies of Christ and of God. But they should see them in our lives. They should be displayed in our lives. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. It is true that our lives should radiate the light into which God has graciously called us. The marvelous light into which God has graciously called us. And yet it is true that often we do not display the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, but rather we display worldliness instead of holiness. We display carnality instead of Christ-likeness. We display disunity instead of unity. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. You see, there's nothing wrong with the foundation. The problem with Christianity today is the Christian. And as Martin Lloyd-Jones put it, the problem with preaching today is the preacher. And I do not exclude myself from this. Friends, the problem is not with God. The problem lies with the people of God. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building, that we would show forth the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. For we should show forth the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's our reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Past week, I was reading a book, and I was recommended it in college by Mr. McIlveen in Christian Ethics, and it's called The Folly of Vision. And if you don't have it already, I would say to get it. It's a selection of the Puritans and the prayers that they had uttered unto God. And it's a wee book of the prayers of the Puritans and devotions. And this is what one of them had said unto God: "Who made me to differ but thee? For I was no more ready to receive Christ than were others. I could not have begun to love thee hadst thou not first loved me, or been willing unless thou hadst first made me so." Friends, we live because He lives. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. He is elect. He is precious. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. We live because he lives. Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Friend, if you're here without Christ, whether here at present or in the webcast, friend, repent and believe the gospel. Christ is the only way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Christ suffered the just for the unjust. There he is in Gethsemane. The awful load of sin is placed upon our Savior. And he says, my soul is very sorrowful, is sorrowful and very heavy. Exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And the awful load of sin is placed upon the one who could not sin because he was God manifest in the flesh. And there he is, he sets his face, as it were, aflint to Jerusalem, delivered into the hands of sinful men, and crucified, and the third day rose again. Friends, we the people of God, we are God's building. We are God's building. He is elect. He is precious. The living stone. The chief cornerstone. There's restoration in him. For the backslider. Friends, all is found in him. All is found in him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You outside of Christ, flee from wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God. We, the people of God, the world is watching on. Ye are God's building. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. May the Lord bless the words of his mouth for his own name's sake. We'll unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for ever saving our never dying souls. We thank thee that we have all the privileges, for Christ has procured them for us. Thank thee for his life, for his obedience. We We thank Thee that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. Lord, we pray that You'll keep Thy hand upon us. You'll bless us throughout this day, Thy day, set aside for worship unto Thee. All that has been of self will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in Thy sight. Lord, teach us to do the will of God and use us in the day and generation You've placed us in. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, careful to give Thee all the praise and glory, which is due Thy precious name. Amen.